It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been studying with me as we've been going through the book of Acts, you know that we've been looking at chapter 11. And when we think back, we've already learned that after Stephen's death, there was a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 talks about that. Well, the believers were forced to leave Jerusalem because of this persecution. And wherever these scattered believers went, they preached the word, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Well, in Acts chapter 11, we learn about those believers who were scattered to the north of Jerusalem and how God used them in a great way. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." When something comes into our lives as Christians, when we're persecuted, when people say bad things about us or try to do things to harm us, we just need to keep on preaching the word of God. And I'm speaking to believers, people who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Preaching means to proclaim, and we are to preach, we are to proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, of those people who would call upon His name. Well, I see now as we move along here, and we see the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, but we see that according to Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 that these believers were scattered as they were scattered along. They traveled as far as Phoenicia. The major cities in this area, of course, would be Tyre and Sidon. And this is the island of Cyprus and Antioch. As the believers went to these places, they preached the word to the Jews only. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia," or Phoenix, "and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Well, in the city of Antioch, however, the believers preached the Lord Jesus not to the Jews only, but also to the Greeks or Gentiles. Verse 20 of Acts 11 says, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." And we've already seen how that Cornelius got saved, he and his household, and those that had gathered with him, Peter preached to them, and they got saved. So people are preaching the word of God everywhere at this point. Well, notice this. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." This would be the Gentiles. God's hand of blessing was with them as they preached, was with the ones who had been saved. They preached the word of God. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and the only cities that were larger were Rome, the capital city, and Alexandria, located in Egypt. Well, the church in the city of Antioch played a very important part in God's plan to bring the gospel to the Gentile people who lived throughout the Roman Empire. We see that the believers in Jerusalem heard about what God was doing up north, and they decided to send Barnabas there. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 talks about that, and we'll read that in just a moment. Well, when Barnabas came, he saw the work of grace which God had done in the hearts of these people, and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. And God continued to save people in the city of Antioch. We read about Barnabas in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. It says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Well, Barnabas knew that there was a need for more leadership in the church at Antioch. And all of these new believers needed to be taught and strengthened in the Lord. And then we see that Barnabas wanted a certain person. to lead new believers in Antioch. And guess who that person would be? That person was Saul. Saul, remember Saul, how he got saved on the road to Damascus and how that God had wondrously saved him? He saw Jesus and he got saved. In Acts chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Well, we see that Saul was living in Tarsus, which is about 100 miles from Antioch. Barnabas made the trip. He found Saul and brought him to Antioch. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it tells us that, "And Saul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching the believers for 1 year." Acts 11, 26, "And when he had found him," when Barnabas found Saul, "he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Well, verse 26 tells us that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's important. This was the first time this name was used. You see, Christianity is not a religion. In other words, man trying to do certain things to please God. But it is a relationship with a person who has already done all the work necessary to save sinful man, John 19:30. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." People call upon the name of the Lord and they get saved. They trust Jesus as Savior. They get saved. And this is what was going on back in the early church, back in what we're reading about now in the book of Acts, how that people got saved. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, these people at Antioch did not give themselves this name, the name Christian, but they were called Christians by the unsaved people who lived in Antioch. In other words, they saw a difference in their lives. As the unsaved world looked at these disciples, they were forced to think about Christ. When they thought about the disciples, it made them think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why they gave them the name Christians. Well, what about you? Can people look at your life and tell that you have a personal relationship with Christ? Do you live in such a way that people know that you belong to the Son of God? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Can you say that? Are you living for the Lord today as a saved person? You need to continue on living for Him and letting people know that you're living for Him and that you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, notice with me now, if you would, Acts chapter 11 and verse 27. It says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch." Well, one person has said this. He said, "Before the New Testament was written, the Spirit endowed certain men with the gift of prophecy, providing spiritual, inspired teaching to help in the guidance of the early church. This special ability was gradually withdrawn as the need lessened." End of quote. And of course, we read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. It says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." See, one day a prophet from Jerusalem stood up and told the believers in Antioch that there would be a great famine in the land. Acts 11, 28. We'll read that in just a moment. And earlier in Jerusalem, in the church, earlier, the Jerusalem church had helped the Antioch church by sending Barnabas. Now the Antioch church was able to help the poor believers in Jerusalem. Well, they possibly sent money as well as food to the needy believers in Jerusalem. Jesus said this when he was here, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." John 13, 35. Well, the believers in Antioch did this deed of love for the needy disciples living in Jerusalem. Notice with me in Acts 11, verses 28 through 30. "And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Well, we need to be ready to help our brothers and sisters in Christ whenever we can. When they are in need, we need to help them. And especially, we need to be praying for one another. And we need to be praying for those people throughout the world who are being persecuted today, for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation that they've proclaimed. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, as we look on now, we see once again that the church is persecuted in Acts chapter 12. You see, the ruler of Palestine at this time was a man named Herod. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Well, this was Herod Agrippa. And he was a nephew of Herod Antipas, the man we read about in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Herod Antipas killed John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 14, verse 8 and verse 10. This happened about 28 A.D. And Herod Agrippa, Herod Agrippa I, and this is Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, was also the grandson of Herod the Great. And of course, this is the man we read about in Matthew chapter 2. Herod the Great killed babies. And we see this happening about 4 B.C. in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. He was the one who tried to kill all the babies, trying to get to the Lord Jesus Christ after he was born, trying to kill him. And of course, the devil has tried that throughout all ages of getting rid of anyone, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to kill him. And we see this carrying on today as killing of the babies is still going on in the world. And it's called abortion. This is murder. And it's just as Herod tried to kill, and he killed many babies during that time of his reign. And there's people today who are standing by and letting this murderous act take place of killing innocent, unborn, and born babies who once again, some have not been born. They're killed in the womb. And there's some who's actually being born, and they're being killed. This is murder. And we need, as safe people, to stand up against this. And we need to be against murder anyway, but especially the murder of innocent, young, innocent babies. Well, we look on now in the book of in this book, and once again we see that Herod Agrippa I, he was one. Herod Agrippa number one was a murderer, just like his uncle and his grandfather. He killed James, Acts chapter 12 and verse 2. And then, of course, this was the brother of John. You remember James and John. Well, James is killed in Acts chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to trust him. You need to ask him to come into your heart. You need to trust him today to save you, so that one day you can see the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.